Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We are here on the July 5th, Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette. I cannot get the internet, so we're using a variety of devices. So I just ask you to be prayerful. He doesn't always be there, so I know. And so we're going to just start with prayer. Lord, we pray for power over the airways, oh God. And as these systems do the different things they do, we know that you are in control. Your word will go forth. Your truth will definitely survive. I don't mean survive, but your truth will be maintained and your people will know. Oh, God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to come together in fellowship on Words from the Word. So, just a little bit distracted this morning, but not dismayed. So, praise the Lord. Prayerfully, you're on speaker. And if not, I do apologize because of the technical difficulties that we are having. So, good morning, Words from the Word. We are into our transformation of the heart. We have looked at various aspects of the function of the heart and how it affects our walk and our thinking, our interaction with others, our interaction with God. And so we continue this journey of transformation of the heart. Guillermo, you know his name, Maldonado. Okay, so brief review of where we are in the transformation of the heart. As we said, we will have try to get you guys on speaker. Just jump right in there. I pray that you can hear okay and that the transmission is going well. Transmission going well? I pray everybody had a good holiday. Oh, damn. Hallelujah. Back. In the name of Jesus. All right. You have been reading. Let's start with our scriptures. We don't need anything for our scriptures. It's in our hearts and in our minds. So those that are on the line, let's hear your scriptures. Your scripture of promise that will help you transition your surrender to God, your scripture of hope for the interaction with one another that will build the body, and we want to share those things that will motivate us with power. The motivating power is our belief and our faith and the Word of God. So, you want to share your scripture. All right, I'll share mine. Out of Ezekiel 36 and 26. And I keep this before me to encourage me when I would fall or when I feel like falling short or I feel, boy, this process is just so difficult. Or the enemy likes to tell me, you know, you can't change. That's how you are. You know, God made you this way. No, God made me perfect, and sin has distorted me. And so God says to me, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so often I am told, you know, I'm harsh or difficult, or I just, you know, really give it to people in my sharing. And I don't ever want it to be out of a heart of stone. And so as a result, my motivation for the one another is that I will exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you, I'm putting my name, unless I be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so to be true to God, not wanting my actions to be justified when they're in the flesh, and then try to justify them spiritually, I am surrendering to the fact that God said he's going to do this in me. And as I walk and as I am in my calling, that every day I will be mindful that every moment I need him. I don't get to a place where I think I've arrived, I have not, and I yet must be mindful lest ergo I. In other words, unless I will be then found short because I was deceived into thinking that a certain way was a godly way when it was really flesh. And I'm trusting that God and Holy Spirit, who has been given to us to correct and perfect us, will correct and perfect. And I just want to make sure that I am embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that in this season, the equipping that we can do that is with our consecration. And so to want to hear more clearly and more soundly the voice of God, the direction of Holy Spirit, surrendering my flesh and my activity in surrendering it to him and honoring him and putting limits or restricting my own flesh, making it subjective to the will of God. And so those are my scriptures. What are your scriptures? Whoa, these in the book. Let's be interactive this morning.
Go receive.
What are your? Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. This minister has my scripture was from Romans 12:10, and it said, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love, honoring one another above yourself, and accepting one another, then just as Christ accepted you," Romans 15:7. I don't want to follow me. Let me just go with my decision.
Say that again?
And then the heart. I said those was my two scriptures. And then encouraging one another and building one another up. And heart one, I did bring my book for that one here. But the vineyard, I don't remember the scripture for it, but non-vengeance. And not having a spirit of the word of God, that vengeance is mine. He will repay. Those are the ones I have for today.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Pratt, for taking out your time and sharing with us, even though you're on your vacation. We appreciate your faithfulness, and we pray you're enjoying your family. Amen.
Anybody I truly
else?
Am.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to share this scripture? All right. This is just a little bit, you know what, God is able. Amen. So we're in chapter 8. We're in chapter 8, and we're looking at the heart surrendered to God. The heart surrendered to God. The author shares in the beginning of this chapter that, first of all, God requires this. This is a requirement. It is a requirement in the kingdom of God. And then why not? If you are in anybody else's kingdom, and you really are, you're, if you will, in the kingdom of the United States, and it is a requirement that you surrender to the law of the land, that you surrender to the authority of the land, that you surrender to the process of the land. So you can't come into America, little people do, but they shouldn't, come into America and decide that, you're going, and I know that maybe that's not a good example because some people do bring their heritage into America, and America honors, you know, the heritages of one another. But you can't come here and demand that everybody, you come from China, and you demand that everybody speaks Chinese. No. You have to adjust yourself to the kingdom or the place that you bring, bringing yourself under subjection to. So you have to learn English. You have to learn the laws of the land. You know, you have to pass tests for citizenship. All of these things are required when you go to another man's kingdom, I'll put it that way. And so God is no less, God is entitled to no less than that. And so as we come into his kingdom, we need to come surrendering to him. We don't come and decide, I'm coming to your kingdom, but I want it to work this way. And I want it to work like this, and I want it to work like this for me today and this way tomorrow. No, we have to come into his kingdom and receive his sovereignty. How do we receive sovereignty? First, we have to acknowledge, you got to find out who is sovereign and who is running things. Anytime you enter a new situation, you a job or whatever, who's the boss? Who's the president? Who do I answer to? Who is going to be the one to assess me and allow me to continue in a positive way in this situation? And so we have to realize that that person, as the creator of all things, is the living God. He is the sovereign God. He is the creator of all things, and he requires submission, yielding, and surrender, and he requires holiness. Now, the wonderful thing about this sovereign ruler is the fact that what he requires, he will also establish. And so he will give us the ability to please him. He will give us the power and, excuse me, and he will also maintain it for us. So in other words, not only do he tell, does he requires something and he deserves it, but he also will help establish it. He will help us meet the requirements for it, because without that it would be impossible. And he will then maintain it, establishing it, and then he'll bless us for what he has done for us, with us, to us, and in us. And so he requires this surrender, not when you just first come as a saint, but throughout the relationship. It should continue to increase in its intimacy or in your knowledge of the kingdom and the king. And so as it increases, we are then becoming, what do they call it, citizens that are putting something back into the kingdom. And so we want to be the kind of individuals, not just pulling out, but also putting in. Because what we put in, where your treasures are, there your heart will be as well. And if your heart is there, then you're motivated. You're motivated to seek more so that you might give more. And oftentimes we seek more so that we may get more. We may be more blessed, but we will come to a place that this desire is there, not so that we receive, but so that he receives. Now we are getting to a place we want to honor him. We want to honor him. There's just such a move going on with these telephones and these robocalls. So I pray that it is not disrupting our communication, because I'm doing everything on my cell phone. So if it is, please just speak up and let me know. A surrendered heart reminds God of his holy son's sacrifice. That was a pivotal moment for me. When the author says, I believe that when God sees a person whose heart is truly yielded to him, he sees Jesus' crucifixion anew. And wherever there is such a crucifixion, that's a surrendering, a giving down, a laying down of your will for his will, God imparts a resurrection. So in other words, surrender is the path of power. So as we surrender, he empowers us to rise according to his standard. And what a blessing that is. That is quite an exalt, being exalted by the Supreme One. We are being exalted. And so when we surrender, we bring thought to the mind of God, of his Holy Son. And he dearly loved his son, Jesus, and the sacrifice he made to a point where he put everything under subjection to him. He made him the head over all things because he was pleased with his surrender to him. That this surrender is a willing surrender, and there can be an unwilling surrender. And usually in the beginning, it's unwilling because we are surrendering so that we can avoid something. But as we do that, you know, obviously avoiding hell and therefore surrendering for salvation. And yet that surrender has to continue. It has to be a continuous thing, because that is then how it will go from unwilling, just doing it so you don't die, to willing, doing it so that he may be glorified. So now you've gotten to a place where you just love so much of what he's done and how he's blessed you and what he has rescued you from, redeemed you from, that you just want to give him something. And in doing that, then you purposely and willingly and gladly surrender and yield yourself and your rights to him so that he may use you to connect with other people who need to know who your king is. Okay. So, as we surrender our rights and our heart, and we surrender this control, we do so with a confidence because we know, as we shared before, that first of all, he requires it, he maintains it, and he empowers us to do so. And as we learn to surrender our rights, the author shares how this is a very important step in our maturation, because then we become more responsible about how we use his blessings. Are we responsible and good stewards over God's blessings? We want his blessings. We seek them, and we need them every day. But are we good stewards? Someone sent me one of those emoji thingies yesterday, and it says, what are you going to do with your life today? And I thought, wow, that's kind of deep to wake up to. And then it's like, well, answer the question. And so that's when you realize, yeah, every moment, every breath is a gift. What are we going to do with it? And who are we going to benefit when we do it? And my answer was interesting, and I'm pretty sure it's what God wanted me to say or think or know or do, because that's what I had to do in that particular time. And that's what the life in me was perfect for him to do. And so ask yourself today, okay, what are you going to do with your life today? You know, and sometimes when we go through the list of what we're doing, it may even be to a point where it's trivia or foolishness or just plain wasteful. And we want to be a good steward of his blessing. He gives us life, strength, health. He gives us the things we need daily. He gives us forgiveness. So are we going to be a good steward over that forgiveness and give it to someone else? He gives us mercy. So are we going to be a good steward over that mercy and be more long-suffering and more patient with our brothers and sisters, putting back into the kingdom what the kingdom has put into us because of, not us, but because of Jesus Christ. And so a surrender heart, it activates the law of exchange. I love that. We know that human beings are legitimate, inherent rights and needs, such as the right to life and the right to your body needs, food, shelter, and so forth. However, when a person surrenders to God and his life is centered on Christ as well as the need of other people, and that's the part we kind of sometimes don't do. We do want to center it around Christ, but not on the needs of other people. Even these rights and needs take second place. So your food, your shelter, your sleep, and that sort of thing takes second place to the needs of others. Let's just think about that for a moment. Even your own family, it takes second place to the needs that Christ has for you. So what will you do with your life today? And so we look at this: self must die. Self must decrease so that God increases. A surrendered heart is a sign of spiritual maturity. We've come to the place now we don't have a tantrum or a hissy fit when we don't have our way. Rather, what we do, we wait patiently, we worship and we trust, and we take the words of the word from the word of God, and we stand on those promises. To stand still is a very good indication of maturity. Because if you think about a kid that came, they never keep still, they're running, they're doing it, and you said, just sit, be quiet. It takes a lot of control. It takes a lot of maturity, even for adults, to just sit and be still and be quiet. And so this surrender, when you surrender your hearts and your life, they're not warring and trying to motivate you to do some things that may not be the season or the time or the will of God for those things. And yet just surrendering your heart will give you that peace so that you may be patient and then receive the power to accomplish what it is that you should be living your life today for. And so surrendering hearts freely obeys and yields by choice. I choose to. This is not a surrender because you win, you're stronger than me, I throw my hand up, or what do they say, throw the white towel in. No, this is something that I've seen, and I want to be subject to you. I want to bow down and be submissive to the sovereign God. I want to be in his court, bow down before him, so that whatever he speaks, says, or wants from me, I am there, available, and eager to do that thing on behalf of my king, of my sovereign Lord. And so myself, I am setting aside, because self has not really proven to be that good of a master over me. Myself has gotten me into a lot of undesirable situations, circumstances, and as a result, consequences that then the sovereign God had to rescue us from. And so we surrender this to the desire to just even be in his presence. and to realize when I'm not, then I am not satisfied. That things are just not right. They don't feel right, and they're not right. And so then the author shows us, now, what are some of the attitudes that will hinder this submission? And it says, negative attitudes towards surrendering and affirming attitudes towards self will block our surrender to Him. So having negative attitudes and affirming attitudes about ourselves, you try to affirm yourself, you're going to be in big trouble. Because yourself really don't know enough about yourself to make affirmation, nor does it have any power to sustain that affirmation. Nor is that affirmation really true, because it's based on our own limited knowledge of ourselves and our future and the world around us. And so as a result, it has really, it's almost laughable. It's that deceitfulness of sin then deceives you into thinking you can be self-improved. Self cannot improve itself, because self-standard, first of all, has no power for change. And so there's only one, there's only two ways to go. It's either God's way or it's the way of the enemy. And don't think you have not surrendered to Him just because you're not an atheist. Don't think you haven't surrendered to Him just because you go to church, okay? But surrendering to Him means that you have rejected something God has said, something that God has desired, something that God has ordained, and you rejected it as, you know, you don't take all of that, or I don't think that's what He wants, or that's not my interpretation, or let's be for real, God really can't want us to do all of that, or I can't see it, or, you know, we have all kinds of conversations. So some things don't appear to be negative, but they are. Well, I can never do this. This is always hard. This is never like how I want it to be. All of those are negative attitudes towards surrendering, okay? And I think one of the things when the consultation was being prepared and presented to us and the Daniel fast and the 12-hour fast, you know, the first thing the enemy... I can't do all that. You know, I'll just do this part, but I won't do that part. You know, that's trying to self. That's our self-affirming. I'm pretty good because I did that. No, what was asked, what was required, and then how did you surrender to the authority over your life? And that's whoever God has put in place at that time. And so... in your leadership, your spiritual leadership, your spiritual growth and development, what is the system in place? What's the plan for today? What's the plan for the week? And so I think that consecration will help us to refocus, give us some more spiritual discipline activities that put God in priority in our life. And so those things like know yourself and accept yourself just as you are, or express yourself, is all the way of the enemy trying to get control over your spirit. That's the old nature. All of those are old nature phrases. They are not the phrases from the new man. Express yourself has never. Christ says they always ask Him, express yourself. Just come on down from there. Call angels from heaven. He said, if I did, it would save me, but you would die. And so He thought of others. And we must do so as well. So what is the requirement on our life? And so as we get to this section of the chapter, it says surrender leads to deliverance. So often we want to be prayed to be delivered from. We want to go to the front, lay hands on. And all of that does not bring deliverance if we do not surrender to the authority and the power through which that deliverance has to come. And so we can't want God. No, we can't want God's power and not want Him. What ruler? What? You know, that's just like you're in jail and you give the inmates your gun. Why would you do that? Absolutely not. Okay? Because they have not and cannot be trusted, first of all, to use the weapon or the power to bless everybody, keep everybody safe. They only want to use it to get what they want. So an authority doesn't give his power to someone until they've given him their loyalty and their surrender. And so that's like you fighting in a hand-to-hand combat, and you giving your enemy all of your weapons. No, you're not going to do that. And so that's in our thinking, even though it's just like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. No, that really is what we're asking God to do, okay? You know, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, but I want you to give me your power so I can do what I want to do. Well, if we do what we want to do, then we're doing what the enemy, the devil wants us to do. And God is not going to give you power to do what the devil wants you to do, because that comes from actually a lack of power and a lack of knowledge. My people perish. In other words, you die from ignorance. You die. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And so what he gives us so that we may know him, so that then he can bless us. It says denying oneself in obedience to God is a sign of surrender. So when you tell your flesh no, doing sacred, I'm doing this consecration, because of the consecration, you tell your flesh no, then what does that look like? To God, that looks like his son surrendering on the cross. So as a result, what is he going to do? He's going to give you resurrection power. So he's going to give you that power of life that will come forth because you have denied your flesh. And so as you decrease, he will increase. What happens when he increases? Well, my goodness, the blessings and benefits of surrendering to God. First of all, it is a definitely a win-win situation. Well, it's a win-win-win. God wins, you win, and everybody around you wins. And so as a result, those very things that you really do want to accomplish and to get and to establish, you get by not doing what you want, but surrendering to him. It says the sinful nature demands that we surrender to it, body, soul, and spirit, in order to serve selfishness and our own egos, which will ultimately destroy us. And so just as the enemy requires this total surrender, the enemy is not satisfied till he gives your body, your spirit, and your soul. Your emotions are his, your throne and your heart is his, and your body has been corrupted by him to look like him. He's not satisfied till you give him everything. And that everything brings destruction. The way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is destruction. And so our sovereign God requires no less than that. Our surrender of our spirit, our soul, and our body. We want to be on the altar of our spirit as the new man. Our emotions and our thinking and our will, he needs it to reflect heaven's agenda, and that will then affect what we look like. So when people see us, they won't see us anymore. They will see him, because he will have permeated our whole being from the inside out. And then when they look and see, they will see not the salvation of Jesus Christ, but it's a new word that I've learned. They will see the solvation, the solving of all of the issues of our life that manifest itself in the body and because of what is happening in the soul and in the spirit. And so the blessing and benefit of the surrender is the heart that becomes a dwelling place for the presence of God. He's not a visitation. It is a dwelling place. He said, I will abide. We will stop hiding. And hiding is where lies come from. Hiding is where deceit and those negative emotions that we feel with other people, from other people, is because they're hiding. Just as Adam and Eve did in the garden after they sinned, God said, where are you? Why are you hiding? They were hiding. They were trying to cover up. They were trying to make something seem like it was, and it wasn't anymore. And when we surrender, okay, then we that mind frame is erased, and a new mind frame of being open and visible and surrendered and subject to God starts to bloom in us. And we don't hide. We don't hide from each other. We don't lie to each other. We don't have to perpetrate a certain kind of persona with others or with even ourselves. We don't have to try to affirm or try to make ourselves think I'm okay, you okay. No, God's okay, and he has committed to perfecting me and you. And so it changes our attitude and our thinking towards one another and with one another and towards God. And as a result, it will create a new way of going forth. And guess who's going to be blessed in? Our children, because they will see a new and different way. They'll realize that honesty is the best policy. That was like such a phrase when I was going, honesty is the best policy. We didn't see it that way, because if you were really honest, you probably got in trouble because you had done something wrong. But I think if we had understood, you may get in trouble now, but it's only because it's being corrected, not disciplined, but being corrected and being trained to do the better, to take the high road, to want more, to see more, to not be deceived by what is in abundance around you, but to seek and look for those things that are rare, because that's where treasures and values are, in the rarity of things. And as we do that, we then will start making his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and then the rarity will be seen. The rarity will be lies on lying, like, oh, why would you do that? It's like it's not necessary. We don't say that now because we probably, within the last 24 hours, have told a lie. And sometimes a lie that wasn't even necessary to say. And yet we did because the enemy wanted to make us subject or submit to his way and not to surrender to God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions, insights? Inspirations that you've given, we're at the blessing and benefit of surrendering one's heart to God. Okay. The author shares that when we yield to God, we are changed into genuine people. I love that. When I read that, it's like, that is such a word that I think our souls hunger for. Something that's genuine, that's real. That is what you see, if you will, is what you get. There's no hidden agenda. There's no negative motivation. It's just genuine. Genuine love is so powerful that we can't handle it sometimes. And we have to get to a place where we can get that kind of love. And so it's like this surrendering to God, it will change in us into genuine people, people that you can trust, people that are there without pretense or any negative agenda, such a refreshing type of thing. I love that word genuine. You don't hear it often, and when you do, it's about something that's extremely valuable. So you don't want a knockoff print. You know, you want the original. You want the genuine thing. You want the real deal. Okay. And everybody wants the real deal. But most of us sell for the knockoff, because at least it looks all right. Okay. That's how we feel. And God is saying, don't settle for the knockoff no more. You know, go for the genuine. And the genuine thing comes when you know what, it is not about me anymore. And then we finally get that. And it's not about you at this point. It's all about God. Why? Because he deserves our surrender and our submission. He deserves it for nothing else. He created us. And he could get it if he wanted it that way. But he chooses for us to give it to him. And then another blessing and benefit of surrendering, we're able to know him better and to manifest his nature. And he said, well, okay, you know, how much more do you want to know of God? How much more can we know of God? There's so much more of God that unless we start seeking it now, we don't want to go to heaven. because that's when the whole thing is going to be unfolded. And what do they say, a flash, what do they say, spoiler alert, it ain't going to never end. That's how much there is to know and learn about him. And so that means there is such a vastness of who he is that then will create in us no limit to who we are in him. And that is just beyond thought. It's just beyond our even understanding because we're so restricted by our own natural eyesight and our own natural knowledge and our own natural even expectations. He said he gives you things that you can't even think, hope for, or dream about. It's so beyond us. And so these are the things that in surrendering to him, we then become privy to eternal things that are beyond mind-blowing, beyond our even comprehension in the present state that we're in. But he is preparing us so that we might be able to dwell in that kind of power with that kind of knowledge, a greater measure of power. We can only have so much unless we are so surrendered. I love surrendering. When you surrender voluntarily to God, he will not deny you his power. And that's a guarantee. If you surrender, and it says, and if you don't, the area in which you are struggling is the area that you have not surrendered to God. So surrender now. So what is that thing you struggle with? And that means in your heart there must be a little blockage that needs to happen. There may be a hard spot that needs to be circumcised and cut. There may be excess emotional baggage and scarring that has taken place that needs to be healed or removed. And so as a result, we want to be able to, just like you really, I don't know how many have ever had anesthesia, you know, they put you out when they give you surgery. And you have to surrender to that. You know, the tech of anesthetic doctor will tell you, start counting back. And as you're counting back, you're letting go, you're letting go, you're letting go. That's surrendering to the anesthetic. And some people fight it. Some people fight it. And though they end up surrendering, they do fight it. So we want to be able to surrender to that and to receive the power that will transform us while we are under the influence of our surrendering king, the king that we surrender to, the authority that we surrender to. And so the author gets to a very interesting place that I probably will end with. He starts talking about receiving this measure of promise and power. And he talks about Christ and the fact that he was baptized in the Jordan. And that started his ministry. So his ministry started by him going down in the water and then ascending and receiving the affirmation from heaven. The heavens opened, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And that's that moment that we seek daily, daily, continuously, surrendering, going down, surrendering to God and his sovereignty. And as he sees that surrendered heart, he is reminded of his son, and he gives us that resurrection power. We need to understand what resurrection means and what kind of power is resurrection power. We know, you know, it raises the dead. It's more than that. When it raises the dead, it raises them into never-ending life. And that is something that, what are you going to do with your life today? Start a process that honors the Lord. Okay, that's all of these things going off in different ways. So, you just pray for it. So, then the author starts talking about the glory. That got me very excited, very, very excited. And the author says, and I'm just going to read this section. It says, in the New Testament, the Greek word translated Jordan comes from a Hebrew word meaning descender, someone that goes down. I believe baptism in the Jordan River symbolizes surrender to God, which is the entrance to the supernatural, including the working of miracles. So we are naturally in this season of the end. Miracles, maturation, manifestation, and momentum. And so when I read that, I got so excited. I thought, wait a minute. This church has been to the Jordan River. Pastor has baptized and anointed people in the Jordan River. This is a, and it's just symbolic of surrender to God. And this being the entrance to the supernatural, including the working of miracles. So then he goes on to say, remember the way up to God always starts by going down in surrender and humility before him. Jesus was empowered by the Spirit after his baptism in the Jordan River. The scripture says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And this is the testimony that the saints should have. This is a number of biblical events are connected with the Jordan River. For example, in the Old Testament, the prophet Elisha instructed Nahum of Syria to dip 7 times in the Jordan to be healed of leprosy. At first, he didn't want to. He was offended. Why should I go in that dirty water? He says, there's so much more superior rivers all around my country. I can go in those. But those rivers represented human ability rather than God's supernatural power. So when Nahum was persuaded by a servant of the Lord, he was completely healed. So in other words, when the king listened to the servant and did the will of God, he was healed. It was not the water of the Jordan itself, but it was Nahum's obedience to God's command that brought about his miraculous healing. Many Israelites choose to be baptized by down in the Jordan as a sign of their repentance. Each new generation of people must come to their own baptism in the Jordan, their own descent from pride and self-sufficiency through surrender to God and yielding to his will. Many people in today's generation want a shortcut to God's power without having to surrender their will to him or having to die to self. Yet, to be empowered by God, we must be willing to yield to him. The reason Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit without limit is that he continually surrendered to his Father. We all need a Jordan experience, a place of surrender, before we can receive a fresh anointing from God. Such power is poured into an individual who is God's vessel, someone who has found his identity in Christ so that he is able to manifest the activity of the supernatural. Every time the author says he surrendered a specific area of his life to God, he saw God's divine anointing move into that area, and he experienced an increase in supernatural power. This is a great benefit of surrender. As we yield to God, we are enabled to heal, to deliver, and to believe God for other miracles. So here we are given a roadmap to miracles. It is through surrendered heart. And we often say, I'm surrendered to God, but we're not surrendered to man. We don't forgive 7 times 70. We do not extend ourselves beyond what we feel that's enough. You know, you're not worth it. because you haven't learned from the beginning. We won't yield because to others because they didn't do it how we think it needs to be done. And again, we don't set the standard that will bring perfection. We only set the standard that will satisfy self. And as long as self is satisfied, then God is not on the throne. Because if Christ would give up everything he had a right to in order that we might be saved, we should be willing to get in that place and give up everything so that one may come to know the Lord God Almighty. And doing it not our way or by our understanding, but rather by being honest and genuine. Genuine in that, is there anything I said here that I don't want there to hear? Is there anything I'm doing yonder that hither don't need to see? Then that's not genuine. Is there anything, well, you know, that's, you know, when I'm up, Genuine, just like God, same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't care who it is or where it is or how it is. He is who he is. He is sovereign. And he requires us to have that level of holiness that allows us to surrender to him so that we can be like Christ. Christ gave up everything. He surrendered. The very God of glory surrendered. He surrendered to the pain. He surrendered to the ridicule. He surrendered to the suffering. He surrendered to the bigotry and the mockery and the spitting. He surrendered to the ignorance. He surrendered because he knew if he died, God would give resurrection power to those who were subject to those that were imprisoned and oppressed by those spirits of destruction, because all of it leads to destruction. And we may say, you know, some people say, you know, I can do better by myself or whatever, whatever. But if you're not, and God didn't say that. He said it wasn't good that man be alone. So you can't do better by yourself. You can't, because we need each other. Why? Because he said, and that's how he made us. And so we can't pick and choose the ones that we need. It's whoever has come into our path. If it's in our path, and some people are in our path because we put them in, well, then that made it our commitment to them. It may suck. Okay, big task. However, when you surrender your rights so that someone else might find and see the glory of God, then God will empower us for this miraculous move that we seek, this miraculous healing that is needed, and this miraculous deliverance that must come. And so we have to look at what this path looks like. It starts with the surrender going down. We said it. I must be pleased without increasing. And then we pray, and he gives us this awesome prayer of surrender, where he shares with us to, first of all, allow all the old foundations to be transformed. So, you know, we have to let go of one mantle and receive a new mantle. Now we're talking about old wineskins and new wine. We have a humble beginning like that of a new believer. Every day we should be almost in awe as we were as a new believer. The hardest decision to make was the one of giving up this pastor, giving up his credentials, giving up his worldly titles and possession and place. And you may feel like, well, I don't have that problem. Oh, but we do. It's just the title looks different. The title may look like mother, or the title may look like wife, or the title may look like husband or son, or I am man. But there is a title, not that you give it up, but you surrender that title to God and then allow him to create in you the true standard of that title. And anything you give up to him, you receive back, you know, 1,000-fold, which is true. So, you know, those are the things that is to motivate and to motivate the momentum in our pursuit of God. And so, questions, comments, insight. You know, I never got on the internet, but it's a good right there. I know what that is. Questions, insight? Yeah, out there still, right? I do pray that we're still on.
Yes, we. I hear you.
Somebody, okay, that's all I. Okay. Mom has been doing a lot of things, so I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, then. So we have completed actually our chapter 8, and we really are fast moving through this book, but quicker than I thought we would. So we are going to start to try to scout out the next as we go into this chapter 9 of A Broken Heart. A Broken Heart. So before you go forth, I encourage you to go back and read some of the prayers that he has presented to us so that we may be able to allow the new word to go on a healed heart and spirit set. If there be nothing else, we'll meet again next week. Enjoy your worship. We're in the month of July. Check your announcement. And for all, remember, we will be meeting at Laborers for Christ in Bethany in this fellowship hall at 2:30. And we have a special meeting and more information. Make sure you tell one another, transportation people, 2:30 to 4:30 in the fellowship hall at Bethany Union. This Sunday, the first Sunday in July, first Sunday gathering in July, our new fiscal year going forward, moving forward. We are a church on the move. So be prayerful. If you're a part of the consecration, stay faithful to it so that God can speak to you and you can impart into the body of Christ that which the Lord is sharing in this season. So God bless you, and enjoy and embrace and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 Amen.